What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Next Gen Whitetails podcast. As always, I'm your host, Harrison Vaughn. And on today's episode, we're going to be doing quite a few things. We're going to be breaking down this past season, going over some of the final things that happened during the last month of the season, which wound up being pretty slow for us here in our neck of the woods. But we're going to kind of go over that, go over some of the things that happened. We're also going to be talking about what the future of the podcast is going to look like, how things are going to be different this upcoming year, how things are going to change, and then kind of ask for your guys' feedback on what your thoughts are, how you all think the episodes came out throughout the season. But overall, we are very, very excited for a brand new year, a new season of the podcast for us to talk about. I know last season was, you know, kind of started in the middle of the summer when this podcast journey began, and then it took us through the 2023 season. But this is our first full year opportunity to go over the entirety of the preparation and the process leading into whitetail season. And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about how the episodes are going to go throughout the spring, summer, fall months, and then how they're going to go once the season actually kicks off. So stick with us. Stay tuned. Very excited to have you guys here today, and we're going to jump into it right now. All right, guys. So welcome back to another episode of the Next Gen Whitetails podcast. Like I said earlier, I'm your host, Harrison Vaughn, and we're going to start things off today by going over what happened during the last month of the season. Before the season started, I kind of let you guys know that I would be giving updates as things occurred, as things happened throughout the season, and unfortunately, it wound up being a slow year for the most part. We had a couple of updates early with some misses, and then a successful harvest of Blades, one of our target bucks on our hit list this year. But other than that, it wound up being a pretty slow year. That's also going to lead us into kind of what we talk about later with what the podcast is going to look like throughout this upcoming year and the next season. But for right now, I want to break down and kind of just give you guys a recap of what happened during this lull that went on during the past month and a half, 2 months, where we didn't have any new episodes coming out. So I believe the last time we talked and had time to sit down and kind of talk about whitetails was right after I was able to connect with one of our target bucks, Blades, back in October. So that was obviously a great hunt, and we have that full breakdown on the past episode of this podcast. So if you want to listen to that or haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to the episode just before this. But after Blades, things really slowed down, not only from a hunting perspective on sits, but also from a trail camera perspective. So we were able to get Blades during a small cold front we had at the beginning of second week of October. And then going out through the second half of October, things really just kind of shut down. Doe movement declined in all the food plots. Part of it is hard mast really started to drop in our area. The red oaks were pouring on all the properties that I hunt, and the deer were just hung up in bedding. And unfortunately, on some of these properties, one of them, the red oaks, actually, had I hunted it correctly, would have presented a great opportunity that we'll get into in a little bit. But for the most part, the red oaks are sporadic on the neighboring property. And then on the other property, the red oaks are so plentiful that it was really hard to narrow down which patch of oaks to be hunting to get on these deer, because they were all dropping at the same time, and they literally littered the entirety of the property surrounding bedding areas. So it was almost impossible to narrow down and understand what these deer were doing. But with that lull, kind of brought us into the end of October, the 1st of November, where we had a massive cold front hit, where we went from highs in the 60s to highs in the 40s almost overnight. And that really jacked the deer movement up. One sit in particular that really stands out to me was on the 2nd of November, the second day of November, sitting on the edge of a brassica cereal grain food plot with a small patch of red oaks behind me that hadn't really had any deer movement on it in the past. Well, as I'm sitting there, it'd been a slow afternoon, hadn't really seen much. I believe I'd seen a couple of does and a 3.5-year-old 8-point up to this point come out into the food plot, passed on him, obviously, because I was still after Big Earl. He was showing up sporadically, still knew for the most part where he was bedded on the neighboring property, but started hearing crunching in the leaves to my back left. So I'm facing the edge of this food plot on this little funnel where the terrain dips, and there's a creek crossing overlooking this food plot. And my hope was that he would cross right through this creek crossing and I would get a shot. Well, this crunching in the leaves that I thought was a squirrel kept getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I eventually turned around to look. And right as I turned around to look to my back, there was Big Earl dropping down this little finger ridge, on the edge of a ravine, coming down into this red oak acorn patch. He came in, ate on acorns for a couple of minutes, and was 15 yards from me. Didn't present a shot. I was hunting with my bow. There was just a little bit of brush in the way that I couldn't shoot through, but he ended up staying in there for a couple of minutes. Until he noticed two does that were on the far back part of this little strip of timber on the edge of this other part of the food plot, and he took off after them and was gone. Had he, I firmly believe, had those does not come out, he would have worked his way right underneath this creek crossing where I expected him to, and I would have had a dynamite shot at 5 yards, and that would have been that with Big Earl, but. Unfortunately, that is not what he did. Those does came out, and I guess in the early phases of the rut, he got distracted and he was gone and out of our lives for the remainder of the season. That was the last encounter I had with Big Earl throughout our 2023 deer season. I had one more daylight picture of him that week. The next day, actually, I wasn't able to hunt due to prior obligations. But he actually read the script perfectly that day, came out into the food plot, would have presented me a shot, but I wasn't there. And if that isn't how it goes, then I don't believe you've ever deer hunted. About 2 weeks later, right before Thanksgiving, ended up getting a daylight picture of him in a food plot that we had never seen him in before during the season in daylight. And that was actually the last picture of Big Earl we had throughout all of the year. I still have to get back out there and pull some cards, hoping to do that this week. But as far as the in-season pictures go, that was the last that we saw of Big Earl during the 2023 season. You know, with a buck like that, you're obviously hopeful as a 6.5-year-old that he evaded detection from other hunters, and that the neighbors didn't by chance get him. But it's hard to say. I think the preseason inventory throughout the summer is going to tell us a lot about how he ended up if he's still on property. But we will see. The wacky buck was completely nocturnal throughout November and December. Not a single daylight picture of him. I know he was bedding on the neighbor's property, pretty close to where our food plot was, and the pictures throughout November and December were fairly consistent with him. He was in and out all at night, mostly within 30 minutes of shooting light, but still all at night. Not a single daylight picture of him throughout the rut or the late season. But it was good to see that he at least survived into the last weekend of December, which is when our trail cameras shut off for the year. And they're still taking pictures, but the cellular aspect isn't being sent anymore. So I need to get out there and pull cards and see. But it looks like the wacky buck did survive the 2023 season, which is obviously an awesome thing for me. And an awesome thing for him. Sorry about that. I had to get a drink of water. But yeah, with him surviving, that was obviously an awesome thing. And if we can get him, the young eight, and hopefully Big Earl, if he made it back into the hit list next year, that would be awesome. Another aspect that was awesome during the late season was a pretty cool hunt I had with one of our podcast contributors, Jonathan Grimes. Out at his farm, we were hunting together, and he ended up tagging a really nice 8-point buck at about 300 yards as we were walking in. I was able to get the binoculars out and kind of spot up for him as this buck was cruising, crossing an open field. He was able to take it with a 308 at 300 yards and put a really good shot on it. But we'll wait until that story here on the next couple of episodes when we have him back on and kind of let him tell you the story himself. The last major encounter that we had, that I personally had during the season, was the first week of December, hunting a thicket on a different property, not the property that Blades was taking on, but a different property I hunt up more in the mountains. But about 45 minutes after entering the stand, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, had honestly probably the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life come in hot tailing a doe. He was clearly tending a hot doe, came in at 60 yards, and I was fortunate enough to watch him for close to 45 minutes as he tended this doe and never presented a shot opportunity. Again, not hunting with a rifle during rifle season, trying to get it done with the bow, and that's just how the cookies crumble sometimes when you're trying to get it done with a bow, especially during rifle season. It can be frustrating, but it can definitely lead to some really awesome moments once you're finally able to connect and get things done. But it was a really neat encounter being able to see what was a big 11-point buck, probably in the 160 class. Again, the biggest deer I have ever seen in person, tending a doe, and to be able to watch for that long, just deer being deer, was a really awesome experience. He's a deer that, you know, I'm obviously hopeful made it through the season, up on this particular property, and I'm definitely going to be shifting some of my focus onto this bedding area and this specific region of the property that he was hanging out in. And actually, my wife's grandfather, who is also up hunting that property as well, he had an encounter with it shortly before I did. So he was there for at least a week, tending this doe and just spending time on the property. So he's one that I'm very, very hopeful will be around in the coming years, and maybe one of us can put him down here this upcoming 2024 season. But time will tell. Next, I'd like to give you guys a little food plot update. So the four food plots that we planted this year in that Brassica cereal grain blend from Domain Outdoors came in spectacularly. It grew, planting again about quarter acre plots. They were all four eaten to the ground by the end of December. The last I was out there was hardly anything left just from where that cold had hit at the end of the season, and these deer had mowed it down to the ground. The clover, the brassica, the cereal grains, all of it came in absolutely spectacular, and the deer really put a hurting on it. So that was a really good thing. It's kind of gonna make me rethink things that, you know, we'll be talking about here on the podcast this upcoming spring and summer on some plans for the food plots, just to, you know, add that attractiveness, but also the tonnage that is kind of gonna be necessary on planning these small, almost micro food plots. These are obviously not destination plots. They're kill plots where the goal is going to be to harvest a deer that's moving through, not a giant 5 acre bean field, but one that you can really target these deer in and kind of hourglass them into a very specific area. So this upcoming year, it's definitely going to be a change of thought and a change of ideas in, you know, which Domain Outdoors blend we want to plant going into this next season. Something that's going to kind of provide us with the tonnage in these small parcels that is going to be necessary to hold the deer throughout the entirety of the season, and also provide that post-season January bitter cold food that these deer need to survive. So that was an awesome thing to see, being able to see these deer use these plots, especially on the properties that have never had food plots planted on them before. Being able to see them grow and the deer use them in the way that they did was a really exciting thing to see. With that kind of wraps up our 2023 season, guys. It was an awesome year. Had a lot of really, really cool things happen, a lot of great experiences. An awesome harvest of a beautiful, unique deer in Blades, and some really, really fun encounters. Definitely a lot learned. But that kind of brings us into what I wanted to talk with you guys about next, and that was what the next 12 months looks like for next gen whitetails. Obviously we started this podcast last summer, carried it into the season, and then throughout the season, I wanted to share podcasts in season as things happened. Well, unfortunately, as we saw during the 2023 season, when things are going slow and there's not a lot going on in the deer woods, not a lot of new information happening in harvests, it can lead to a pretty big gap in podcast production. So going into the 2024 season, which we are 9 months away from, going into the 2024 season, I would like to change that up. I would like to post a podcast on a weekly basis in season, even if there are no real updates. Whether that is talking about something off topic from what's actually going on in season, introducing a new land management strategy, or just talking strategy, talking about what I'm thinking, what I'm hoping, what I'm planning for in season. I think that is what is going to happen this upcoming year once we actually get into deer season this fall. Because I don't like not producing a podcast every week because I really like sitting down and talking about it. I like putting it out there for you guys. And I really like hearing y'all's feedback. So if that is something you guys would be interested in this fall, please let me know. Hit us up on our Instagram page, NextGen Whitetails, NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. Shoot us a direct message. Let us know if that is something that you guys want for this upcoming season. That being weekly podcasts, even if there's nothing specific going on in the deer woods. So let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. I'd be really happy to hear your guys' feedback, hear what your thoughts are. But for the next 8 months before we get to the season, I wanted to let you guys know that it is officially weekly podcast time for preparation, scouting, stories, and other aspects of the Whitetail Woods. So we're not only going to be talking about specific in-season things now. On a weekly basis, you guys are going to be hearing from me podcasts coming out of just talking deer, talking land management, talking tactics, talking strategies, forestry, things like that with different guests. But we're back into that time frame, which I'm very excited about, just to be able to share with you guys on a weekly basis. One final thing that I wanted to run by you guys in terms of the podcast production aspect was what you guys are thinking as far as our topics. Obviously, I am a passionate whitetail deer hunter. I absolutely love sitting in a tree, sitting in a ground blind, studying whitetails and chasing them. But one thing that I haven't talked about on this podcast a ton is how much I love every aspect of the outdoors. So if it's not deer season, I'm duck hunting. Duck hunting is an absolute passion of mine. I love chasing waterfowl, whether that's going out of state with some buddies and chasing them on public land or hunting them in our home state, whether that's in the ocean, in the timber, in the swamps, in the marshes. I love waterfowl hunting. So if you guys want to hear some more waterfowl hunting content on this podcast, let us know. Shoot us a message on Instagram or shoot us a comment through whatever podcast platform you're listening to, and let us know if that is something you would like to have added to our podcast repertoire. That being kind of mixing things up, talking, maybe a little bit more fishing during the summer months and spring months, whether that's bass fishing, saltwater fishing, because that's something I love doing and I would love to share with you guys. So if that's something you guys would be interested in, hearing about whitetails, but also hearing a segment about, another aspect of the things that I'm doing in the outdoors every week, that's something that I would really like to kind of try out, share them with you guys. And if that's something you guys like hearing, let me know because I'm excited to share that with you guys. And that's actually something that we're going to be doing on today's podcast is sharing a couple of quick stories from duck season. And I'm happy to keep that going. And we're going to see how it goes over the next couple of episodes as we move forward with this new year. So I really do appreciate you all and your feedback to me. I've gotten a lot of great messages through Instagram, for you guys just, sharing that you've enjoyed the podcast, shared some stories that, I'm looking forward to sharing with the podcast. But those are things that, I want to do. I want to mix things up. I want to share new things with you guys, and I definitely want to hear your feedback. So if those are things you're interested in, hearing about other aspects of the outdoors, share it with me. Shoot me a message, shoot us a comment on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. But yeah. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to our recap of this past season, and that you are as excited about this upcoming year and what our podcast has in store, for us as I am. So before we do our conclusion for the day, I want to share with you guys a little bit of my duck season from this past year. Just a little story. We're going to be saving some for upcoming episodes. But today specifically, I would like to share with you guys about a hunt that I had actually a week ago, here in our great state for tundra swans. So let me preface that by saying, in North Carolina, we are fortunate enough to have a very large population of wintering tundra swans, which are a large white species of swan. They're very large, one of the largest waterfowl in North America. But we have enough of them that our state wildlife commission actually issues permits to a handful of hunters every year who are able to harvest them. So this was my first year drawing and hunting a tundra swan in the state, and it was a blast. We hunted down at the coast near Currituck. And hunted in a dry field, actually sitting in a ditch in white suits with probably 3 dozen swan and snow goose decoys scattered around us on this field edge. And when I tell you it was incredible to see, it was incredible to see. Right as light, so we put the decoys out before light, obviously, and then as light broke on the horizon, you would just see these little pockets of 3 or 4 giant, what looked like geese. They were swans, but pockets of just 3 or 4 at a time working their way in. And they worked to calls really, really well, as good as you can imagine a mallard or a snow goose or a speck works a call. They would circle, they would work their way in, and I was fortunate enough, along with a buddy of mine, to harvest my first tundra swan in this way, hunting in this ditch. So my buddy actually got his first. We were sitting there side by side, and a group came in, and he was able to put a great shot on one. It flew off a couple hundred yards and ended up stone dead. Had a great shot in the chest, killed it. But he went and got his, and then after watching a group of about 1,000 snow geese circle us, a single pack of, or a single very mature big white tundra swan came in, and I was able to put a really good shot on it and dropped it and had a really, really great hunt. After going back to the truck, I ended up just, we sat there for a little bit and watched as hundreds of swans got up off of a feed over near the sound and worked their way across the field. And it was just a really awesome experience to get to watch these giant waterfowl move through the sky and just see these birds that spend the majority of their year up in the Arctic tundra migrate their way down into our state to spend their winter. So that was a really awesome hunt. That's just a brief summary of it. I'd love to share with you guys more specifics sometime, but it was an awesome hunt. Being able to harvest my first tundra swan, and it really capped off what turned out to be an absolutely incredible waterfowl season with a bunch of awesome hunts for ducks, awesome hunts for geese, a whole bunch of miles put on the truck driving to different states to do some hunting. And I'm eager to share with you guys some more stories from Arkansas and the coast down here and some swamp hunts we did. But I'm really eager to continue to share some of those waterfowl hunts with you guys as we move forward. But today I wanted to kind of share a very cool experience hunting tundra swans with you guys, kind of as our first outside of whitetail story segment on the podcast. So I hope you guys enjoyed hearing about the tundra swan hunt. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to shoot me a message on Instagram and I'd be happy to tell you more. But thank you guys for being here today. We're going to jump into our conclusion segment right now. Alrighty, guys. Well, that wraps up the first episode of our second season of the Next Gen Whitetails podcast. It was an awesome year this past year, but I cannot wait for the things that we have to come with Next Gen Whitetails and with whitetail hunting in general. I'm excited for the new aspects of the podcast, that being the additional hunting and fishing segments that I'm going to bring in to share with you guys on a weekly basis. Can't wait to share our season preparations and then share with you guys this upcoming year about our 2024 deer season. So if you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to follow us on whatever podcast platform you are listening on, and be sure to check us out on Instagram at NextGenWhitetails. That is NXTGEN Whitetails on Instagram. So be sure to give us a follow, give us a like on Instagram and on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And as always, thank you guys so much for being a part of the Next Gen. We'll catch you on the next one.